This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the Morning Run, and of course I'm here with Khoo Soo Chuang and I'm Wong Shao Ning. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Jahabar Sadiq, the editor of Malaysian Insight, on the country's new youth movement. And in line with that, we are running a poll on Twitter this morning asking you, which of these is the most realistic goal for Syed Saddiq's youth platform? Do let us know what you think. Please go in and vote. But in the meantime, let's talk about white-collar crime. Because for some of us, you might have missed the news over the weekend whereby the former CEO of Transmile Group, Gan Bunan, was found guilty for providing misleading financial statements to Bursa Malaysia back in 2007. According to the Securities Commission, Transmile had created fictitious sale transactions with 20 purported customers.
Yeah, that's right. So obviously, the Sessions Court has sentenced Gan to a 2.5 million ringgit fine and only one day in jail. Then this is not a problem that's necessarily unique to Malaysia, though, because we've seen high-profile scandals, not in Malaysia, but with other companies around the world like Wirecard and Luckin Coffee earlier this year. So obviously, that's the focus of attention today.
Yeah, we're going to be taking a look at white-collar crimes in general. So for more insights on this, we speak to criminal lawyer Srikanth Pillay. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Now, set the stage for us. The Transmile case spanned over 10 years. How does this work and why does it take for such a long time for this case to be resolved?
Okay. Morning, Xiaoning and Chuang. The case of Transmile is actually an exception to the norm. Normally, cases like this don't take that long. But for some reason, this has taken 10 years, if I'm not mistaken, from the time he was charged until the decision. In this particular case, I think there were constitutional challenges that were brought up by his lawyers about the charge under that particular law, under the Security Industry Act. But I think all the challenges failed, but I think they needed to wait for all the challenges and the applications to end before they could continue with the defense. I think that is what happened in this particular case. The thing about criminal cases and also commercial crime cases, generally, the accused have all these rights and applications that they can have to put in constitutional challenges and challenging the charges and so on. So these take time. So in normal commercial crime cases, like cases under the Money Laundering Act or under the MACC Corruption Act or even some penal code acts, it doesn't take usually that long, most 2 to 3 years. And that is not long, actually, for a trial. For this particular case in Transmile also, it's not really over yet because he has two other rights of appeal, which is the High Court and the Court of Appeal. So it is going to take longer than 10 years if you're really looking at for a complete end to the case. So also cases like this in commercial crimes, they have a lot of documents, voluminous documents, a lot of witnesses. There's a lot of documents that the lawyers have to go through with their clients. So those take time as well. For example, I'll give an example of the former Prime Minister's case. To me, the case was really fast. It wasn't slow. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's taking too much time, there's too many adjournments and so on. But all these adjournments and postponements, like some come from the lawyers, some come from prosecution, some comes from the court itself. So the system is such that cases like this take this kind of time. But of course, Transmile exception is too long. 10 years is actually too long for a case to go on like that. So,
yeah, you're quite right in pointing out that, Srikanth. Commercial crime does tend to take these kind of cases. I mean, if you go further back, there's always Iris Corp, and then even further back, there's the Repco Berhad case as well.
Correct.
There's a phrase in the legal world called justice delayed is justice denied. Do you think there's some kind of reform that should occur in the court structure to perhaps minimize the allowance of such appeals and other legal processes?
Okay, I mean, the amendment should maybe be made, but the problem with that, it takes away the constitutional right of the accused being charged, which actually is a big thing. We have Article 5, we have Article 8 of the federal constitution that everybody has a right to be defended and all laws are equal for everyone. So we have that particular article in the constitution, and I feel that to amend the court system to give them less appeals or less processes actually takes away a lot of the rights of the accused, which is unfair as well. I mean, as we know, accused persons who are charged in court are innocent until they're proven guilty. I mean, I'm a defense lawyer, so I'm going to say that. But that's how it works. So kind of taking away all this just for to making sure that the case goes really fast. I mean, even swift justice is not justice. You have something that you just go through just to go through the whole due process so that we can, you know, get it out of the way is also not correct. So we are stuck in this middle ground on how we're going to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, one element is time. The other one is the extent of sentencing. And of course, when you say, given the type of offense, you know, one day in jail and a couple of million ringgit isn't exactly much more than a slap on the wrist. Do you think sentencing then needs to be looked at in terms of extent?
Okay. It depends. Like you see, like in the Securities Industrials Act, I think the maximum fine was 3 million. It's 3 million. And also, I think imprisonment was supposed to be not exceeding 10 years. So you got a day in prison, you got $2.5 million fine. I am not going to comment on the Transmart case itself because it's probably going to be on appeal. I do not know. It's not fair for me to comment. So I'll make a general statement about it. Sentences and punishments go basically on the Act itself. So, for example, if you look at the Corruption Act and the Money Laundering Act and some of the penal code offenses for commercial crime, to me, the sentences are fine. I mean, the punishments are deterrent. You have imprisonment, you have fine that's five times the amount of the gratification amounts. I think it is more than sufficient as a deterrent. Of course, the Securities Industries Act now has been repealed, so it's not in force anymore. It has been replaced by the Capital Markets and Services Act 2007. So it has changed sentences in that. So I think, to me, punishments are sufficient. But for this particular case, of course, I'm not going to comment on it. I can't. So the situation, if you ask me whether the punishments are sufficient, I think they are. I think they're more than sufficient. And I think, you know, the authorities have got to do their job to get the convictions if they really want it.
And I want to ask about who else should be culpable in such commercial crimes, because it's not just only, let's say, the CEO or the CFO. I mean, because multiple people are involved. What about auditors, for example, or the accountants, especially for listed companies?
Okay, so when companies are charged, normally when companies are charged, the person in charge of the management of the company is the one that actually is the face of the company. Also, their directors, they're also people who are managing day-to-day affairs of the company. They are the people who would be purported to be in charge of the company per se. So, to me, it's not just the CEO. It can be directors of the company. It also can be a person in charge, like a managing director of the company who's in charge of the daily affairs. In cases like where it's involved money and the money is being handled, money transactions are being handled by the MD or the auditors, so on. So that is the main thing. But charges like this are normally personal to the person itself. Like in this case, it was the CEO because he was in charge of the reporting to Bursa. So he is actually the person in charge. So that's how it goes when it comes to laws regarding these kind of cases. But the problem we have as well, there's some companies that directors do not want to appear in court because they are afraid of, let's say, publicity or don't want to show their face in court and so on. So what they do is they send someone as a low position officer and, you know, try to represent them. But that doesn't work because the court will tell you, no, you bring your director in. Because it happened before. I'm telling you things that happened before, I mean, in cases that I have done. So normally the directors are the ones who are in charge of the company and is the face of the company, and they're the ones who got to face the music.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was criminal lawyer Srikant Pillay giving us a kind of a summary of the commercial crime and how courts actually are navigating in this new, you know, in this new framework. And of course, there are question marks, like you say, Chuang. Does the punishment fit the crime? You know, does the fact that these cases take a long time, does it make it fair? But of course, you know, he also reminded us about Article 5 and Article 8, whereby everyone has a right of defense, and his point is actually, if we look at our ex-prime minister's case, it wasn't slow, it was actually quite fast by standards.
Yeah, it's the legal process, isn't it? So I think just one more point to note. I think in Hong Kong some years ago they tried to introduce some the commercial crime equivalent of vicarious liability, where they tried to impose a banker's liability who brought, you know, bankers who brought businesses to IPO market. But then, of course, that fell by the wayside as well.
Well, but up next we'll be talking about India's economy. That's going to be happening after the 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.